Drive Guys here getting you ready for the Kings and the Warriors tonight, but we're putting that on the back burner for now because we're in the middle of a rather heated debate, which was sparked by the woman at the Charger game Monday, who was so emotional and so happy with the Chargers doing great, and then she was falling apart, coming apart at the seams when they weren't. A lot of people thought, well, that's fake. That's probably an actress. She went on McAfee the next day, Tuesday. And then she said, oh, no, I'm a Charger season ticket holder. Someone, as you pointed out yesterday, Kyle, someone even called the Carmichael Dave show on Tuesday and said, oh, no, I've watched games with her. She's legit. But then it came out, I think, late yesterday, photos of her surfaced on the internet of her wearing a Vikings jersey with purple paint. And she said, well, yeah, I used to live in Minnesota, so I'm a Vikings fan too. So phony. Are you the greatest Charger fan ever? You can't be if you're also a Vikings fan. So that led to our poll question. And Simone took some producer liberties here. Here's what she finally phrased it. I think she did a good job. Can you be a fan of more than one team simultaneously? That's the question on our YouTube chat. Absolutely not loyal to your soul. Absolutely not loyal to your soil. Or, yep, variety is a spice of life.
And I have some early returns I'd like to give you.
Yes.
57% say, yep, variety is the spice of life.
It's early.
Oh, and it just changed on me. 53% to 47. So it's still time to vote on our poll on the Sactal Sports YouTube page. But, man, it's 2023. Like who you like is what I say.
Like who you like. Enjoy it. Just don't come and tell me that you're a fan of more than one team. Because you're not. And that's great. That's fine.
You're calling a woman a fraud, though. Well, that's strong.
Yeah.
That's strong.
She's pretty much revealed as a fraud.
And when was that Vikings picture taken? That might have been 10 years ago.
I don't care, but she didn't say that. She didn't say, that was a long time ago. I'm not a Vikings fan anymore. That's not what she said.
She said the Vikings.
Oh, yeah, Vikings. Yay. They're my team, too. If you have two teams, you don't actually have any.
Oh, my God.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Mitch joins us on Sactown Sports. Hey, Mitch, thanks for hanging on. What's up?
How you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Good. Good.
You know, there's some Vikings and Chargers, those are the best uniforms. You don't mess with. Maybe she looks good, and I haven't seen it. But where does she go by? I haven't seen it. I'm too busy working.
Yeah.
I probably won't be able to turn the computer. That's how literate I am with computers. I agree. I think, why not like more than one team? I'm the king of it. I like more than one team. I'm talking Pac-12, basketball, football, baseball. I got my main. Sometimes, it's just the uniform, the hometown. Well, your favorite players from college. What's the big deal? Yeah, I mean, plays move. It's not like the old days.
All right, thank you, Mitch.
Thanks, Mitch.
Appreciate
that.
You, but
Mitch is my guy. He's on the right side.
Yeah.
You know, when it's all said and done, Mitch will be on the right side of history. You won't be. That's all.
He did raise an interesting point.
Yes.
I do know you can be a fan of different teams in different sports.
We all agree on
that.
No, you only got to have one team for your whole life. No, we
know
got that, Mitch.
The way you like to try to twist.
No, not at all.
Words.
Not at all. Not at all.
Butch joins us on Sactown Sports. Butch, on the Drive Guys. Hello, what's up?
Great, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
Hey, you definitely have a fan of each league. For instance, AFC and NFC. I got the Chargers in the AFC and the 49ers in the NFC. However, when it came down to the Super Bowl that the Chargers met the 49ers, it was all Chargers then.
Right. And so I agree. You know, when they play each other, you got to declare one. You can't be 50-50. Oh, whoever wins, I'm fine with. I'm a winner. But if they never play each other, if they rarely see each other, think about it in baseball before we had interleague play. You could be a fan of, let's say, I don't know,
you ever
the
seen
Braves and the Tigers.
Have you ever seen the A's Giants split hats? Have you ever seen those?
I haven't
they
seen
them. They came out in the 80s, I think, is when they first came out with those. And they would wear them at the Bay Bridge Series in the preseason. And it's half a Giants hat, half an A's hat. They're horrible.
I was about to say. Now, but if they're rivals, Like, if you're a Dodgers fan and a Giants fan, I can't get with that.
But anybody that says, and you can say what you want, but when you say, I'm a fan of two teams, you're a split capper in my mind. I'm sorry.
Oh, you call it a,
you are a split
capper.
So this
girl's a split capper? She's a fraud and a split capper?
I'm not sure which is worse, but she's both.
Thank you,
Butch, for the call.
Butch,
Appreciate that.
Good
sorry
stuff.
That Super Bowl didn't work out for you, did it? You were pulling for the Chargers there. How about Phil on Sacktown Sports? Hello, Phil.
Hey, how's it going, man?
It's not going well for me right now, Phil. I'll tell you what, I'm a little upset.
Why?
I'm upset because everyone's agreeing with Kyle right now. That's why.
Well, see, I'm a fan of two teams. Y'all are going to have you for this one. I'm a fan of the Niners and the Raiders.
Well,
ooh.
I've heard of people like that. So, I mean, I've heard stories. I didn't know they actually existed.
Yeah, so my household is a Niner fan, but we will go to the bars when I was a kid and watch the Raiders play, like if they were playing in a different time zone. And then I grew up watching both, so that's how I became a fan of both.
All right. Whatever works for you, Phil, and if it makes you happy, that's great. Yeah, like I said, I've heard legends of people like that. And I thought, that's not real.
That's kind of tough,
like
right?
Bigfoot,
a fan
of the Raiders and the 49ers.
Right.
Come
that,
on.
That's I don't. That's like yeah. That's like being a Warriors and Kings fan right now. That can't happen.
Thank you, Phil.
That is different.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate your listening. Appreciate that. I don't know. Based on the phone votes here, I think
you're losing this one pretty badly.
I'm falling deeper and deeper.
But
behind
you still got time to come
right.
back. You still got time to come back. People can still vote on our YouTube page, Sacktown Sports 1140 right now. I'm still winning, 57 to 43, but this is 2023, Whitey.
I know, you
this
mentioned that a couple times.
This isn't 1980 where you
got
to declare. You got to declare a team, and you got to stick with them your whole life and all this. Players move. Why can't fans move?
You can.
Okay.
You just, if you're going to move around and have more than one, again, that's different. You can pick different teams, but if you have more than one team, you're not a fan of either team, no matter what our poll says or this guy says.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Is there an age requirement for this?
No.
Like, can kids be a fan of two teams? Can young Johnny at home like the Warriors and, let's say, the Celtics?
How old is Johnny? You know, if they're really young, they don't know the difference.
10.
So it's then
is that
a parent
okay?
has to say, Johnny?
Is Johnny a fraud also?
Well, that's where you need some parental guidance. Johnny, look, that's cute, but you have to be a fan of one. I'm sorry. That's what a good parent does.
Sit him down at a young age,
and
right?
To him.
Help him.
Johnny, I know why you want to root for the Raiders and the 49ers, but it's not done.
It's not done. We don't do that in this house.
You can root
right?
for whichever one you want, but not both.
My gosh.
Let's take a quick timeout. Make sure you get your votes in now. If you believe that you cannot be a fan of more than one team, I'd appreciate it, and I need the help. And, then we'll come back and take a look at Christian McCaffrey and what's interesting about some of the information and how we're getting the information about McCaffrey's injury. It's a Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. Sac State football back at home Saturday night. Nationally televised primetime game versus the Montana State Bobcats. Kickoff at 7:30. Get your tickets at hornetsports.com. Before we get to Christian McCaffrey, I have to admit, Kyle, dear listener, I'm a little worried about Jake Moody. I saw some numbers today that rattled me. The fact that he missed two kicks, either one of which would have won the game Sunday, rattled me. But this was very rattling. Some numbers here on how he has done, even going back to college, at home as opposed to on the road. Have you seen these numbers?
No, I have not seen these numbers. I would like to hear this.
Mm-hmm. Jake Moody, this is according to SI.com and Fan Nation. Jake Moody has been missing field goals on the road at an alarming rate since college. At Michigan, when he was at home, he made 44 of 49 field goal attempts, or 88.9%. That's at home. But on the road, he made 19 of 28.
Ooh, that is not good.
67.9%. So then whoever wrote this goes on to suggest, well, this would suggest that Moody's inaccuracy could be a mental issue. I don't know what it is, but we've seen that this year in the NFL as well, right? At home,
yes.
Hey, money on the road in Cleveland. A little discouraging.
Right. Or that house of horrors known as Philadelphia. December 3rd or the NFC
Robbie
Championship.
Gould will be kicking by that.
Exactly. You know, I just pulled up this article by Grant Cohn. I don't know how people feel about him. This was written on SI.com.
He likes the 49ers about as much as you do.
The fan page. The headline says the 49ers have put Jake Moody in an impossible position. He says Moody looks miserable on the sidelines. He frowns. The rookie looks like he has the weight of the world on his shoulders, and in a sense, he does. He has to replace Robbie Gould, the ninth most accurate kicker ever in terms of percentages. And he says, unlike Brock Purdy, who came in and replaced Jimmy Garoppolo, Shanahan can draw up plays for Brock Purdy. He got other people he can lean on. For Jake Moody, uh-uh. Nothing Shanahan or anybody else can do. He says the 49ers might need to bring back Robbie Gould pronto.
What's the word for that? I think that's garbage.
I'm just saying what the guy is reading.
I understand.
That's not my take.
I understand.
I'm just saying
that.
What he's saying.
The scary thing is that if this were to continue for another game or two, then I think you might have a discussion.
Right.
But as far as what did he say? They've put him in an unfair position. Did he
impossible
say
impossible position?
See, come on,
impossible.
He's a kicker.
He's replacing a legend.
Yeah, Robbie Gould was a really effective kicker, but you know, you were doing shows this summer. How many calls did you get from people? No, Robbie Gould, no, you can't.
Right.
You know, it's not like they traded like Mickey Mantle or something or Chris Webber or. Right?
Right. No, you're. I'm just saying what Grant said. That's
It. It's difficult, but the scary thing is that it looked like, all right, he's got it. He's making kicks. And that's the bottom line. You make the kicks, everything's fine.
Right.
And then to
miss
two in a game like that, I saw somewhere, I think Matt Barrows wrote this, the kicker, Justin Tucker, there's no better kicker, right?
Right.
Perhaps
correct.
Ever.
Yes.
He's also missed two kicks this year. So if you look at that, it's like, well, I guess it's okay. But he missed two kicks, did Moody, in a game where either one of them would have won the game for
him. Right. So. He missed a game winner. That's something Justin Tucker does not do. He's Mr.
Not
Automatic.
Typically,
yeah.
Not typically. I thought this was interesting as well. And maybe I'm reading too much into it. Please, if you think I am, Kyle, let me know. Christian McCaffrey. Here's a story from yesterday. I know Emil came in and shared this with us. This is from ESPN. Christian McCaffrey avoided a long-term injury and has a chance to play Monday night against the Vikings, league sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter. A couple of things about that are really interesting to me. First of all is that we still don't know what the injury is. And I know there's HIPAA laws,
right.
And I think tomorrow would be when
Kyle
Shanahan is supposed
Monday's
to announce the
injuries. Because the game, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, it has been vague. The descriptions of the injury have been pretty vague, whereas Trent Williams, he sprained his ankle, not a high ankle sprain. And Debo is a shoulder.
This, we get
it's
that.
Oblique rib. Well, what is it? And the fact that it's coming from sources and that he has a chance to play, it made me wonder, where is this coming from and why? And do you know that Adam Schefter once wrote a book with Mike Shanahan?
I didn't know that until you put it in the rundown earlier.
Yeah, years ago. And Adam Schefter in the past has broken stories that have to do with Mike Shanahan. And I'm not suggesting there's anything untoward here, but it looks to me like somebody in the Niners camp said through Mike or Kyle, like, hey, Adam, we need you to report this because it helps us. Again, if it's true, that's fine. But there's something about it that's a little odd because it's like, oh, it looks like he could be okay. Well, what's wrong? We don't know. I don't know if he's going to play Monday. And then they have the game, against Cincinnati? Maybe he sits out two games and then they have the bye.
And then
week.
They have the bye. And,
yeah.
You know, reading this article on ESPN, there's not much meat to it, though.
See what I,
It's just like,
it's
put this
vague.
Out there for me.
Yes.
I'm not going to give you any more details or nothing to flesh it out. He really doesn't say anything, really. It's just that he avoided a long-term injury and has a chance to play.
Yeah.
The question I have is, why would Kyle do that? If the sources happen to be Shanahan or his dad or whatever, why would Kyle do that?
Maybe one thing is you send that message to the Vikings. That, hey, you better prepare for
CMC.
CMC, yeah. Mm.
You might be right about it. You might be on to something.
Mean, that's the way coaches think.
Because when I'm reading this article, this does not seem like normal Adam Schefter reporting to
There's
me.
There's no details.
There's no details at all. It's just he could play, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so now if you're Minnesota, you read that, and, oh, we got to prepare for him. And so I get what you're saying. You know, at first I was like, why is Whitey even, like, why is this a segment? Uh-huh. But I see what you're talking about, because there's nothing there other than the headline, basically.
Yeah. So there seems to be a truth here that they're trying to conceal. What that is, maybe it's just as simple as, we don't know if he's going to play this week and we want them to think he's going to play. But I'll be keeping an eye on that. Obviously, we hope he's fine, but just there's a vagueness to this. Then when you consider it's Schefter, his relationship to the Shanahans,
yeah,
it just makes me wonder, okay, fine, but what's really going on? And
little gamesmanship.
We'll find out soon enough.
Yeah, we'll find out come Thursday, tomorrow, when the injury report comes out, the game on Monday. With that being said, as a Niners fan, I would imagine people would be like, hey, go for it. You know, the gamesmanship, we love it, you know? Mm-hmm. You don't want to reveal,
right,
you know, your game plan or who's playing or who's not until you have to against the Vikings.
And also, it's possible. Don't you think it's probable that they are waiting to see how he feels right now? And
maybe still a lot of time to go before kickoff. But I see your point regarding that. Yeah. Yes, I do.
Maybe he's got it. Well, I don't want to speculate on it, but it is odd. So if I had to guess right now, I'd say I don't think he's playing Monday. But we'll find out soon enough. Now, did you hear what Micah Parsons had to say?
I did. He went on a little rant. He got emotional, it felt like.
Yeah, Micah Parsons has his podcast. Of course, he was very excited that the Cowboys beat the Chargers. You know, the game where that fraud was there cheering and was on TV and everything. But Micah Parsons, does he have a point here? He says the media has a double standard when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys. Oh, we had that audio. Do we have that audio? Yeah, we're going to get it in just a second here. Anyway, he claims that the media holds the Cowboys to higher standards. When they lose, it's like, oh, Dak's terrible, and this team's terrible. And when the Eagles or 49ers lose, it's like, oh, they lost the game. That's what Micah Parsons says. What do you think of that?
No, you know what it is, Micah Parsons, and I get it. You're a Cowboys. You know, you play for the Cowboys. I get it.
I'm sorry, Cowboys.
We got the audio? Yeah. All right, I'll react.
Here's Micah Parsons.
I just don't condone the bashing of Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys and have the same energy for the Eagles. We want the same energy for everybody because there's a whole bunch of bashing when it's Dak Prescott, but not the same when it's the Eagles. I got time today. A lot of people said the Browns defense was overhyped. I said the Browns are the real deal. Acho said this, which pissed me off. I'm not worried about the 49ers. They were missing Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel. The Browns were missing Deshaun Watson, Nick Chubb. They were missing them key factors before the game even started. So why is it that we are just scrubs and we're nobodies that don't deserve to be on the field and we're just all talk? But there's 100 excuses for these other teams. If y'all just want to hate Cowboys Nation, just say y'all hate Cowboys Nation. I'm tired of people trashing my quarterback. I'm tired of people trashing my team. And that's why I had nothing to say to the media this week. You want to hear me talk? Come to hear me talk on The Edge Monday night. And that's point blank period.
Okay, I hate Cowboys Nation, just right?
I'm with you on that. But you know what it is, and Micah Parsons, because your team got mollywopped last week against the Niners, your quarterback obviously was the talk all week and his three picks, you know, so you're a little sensitive right now. I get it, but you just came off a nice win, a good win, a much-needed win. The problem, Micah Parsons, he needs to have that same energy after week 2 and 3 when everybody was hyping the Cowboys up. The Cowboys are that franchise that elicits reactions, whether good or bad. You either love them or you hate them. So when they struggle, there's going to be a lot of venom. But when you play well, when Dak plays well, look at earlier this season. Remember the opener and against the Giants? I think it was. That defense was, and everybody was saying, oh, this might be the year for the Cowboys. And so Dallas is that franchise that, love them or hate them, win or lose, they are going to be the talk. They are going to elicit a reaction. And so when you put that star on your helmet, you have to expect that, I think.
Micah Parsons is a great player. He's a young guy, and he probably needs to take a broader view of this. I mean, this maybe is before your time as well, but the Dallas Cowboys are self-proclaimed America's team.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. But then, of course, people are going to hold you to a higher standard. And when you consider yourself one of the crown jewels of the NFL, franchise that is always about Super Bowls and nothing else, well, the 49ers and Eagles have actually been to Super Bowls this century.
Right.
Your team's actually won one.
Exactly. Right? And you're talking about two teams that just played in an NFC championship game, so you're going to give them a little more leeway when they hit a bump or something like that. The Cowboys, meanwhile, they're a regular season team that always struggles in the playoffs. And so once you hit a bump in the road, it's like, uh-oh, here we go again. The Cowboys, you know, it's par for the course. Like, it's what comes with it. Think about this. Remember, I used to be a Cowboys fan. Believe it or not, I used to be a Cowboys fan. I've admitted that. I've gone on record on that. I own that.
Why aren't you a Cowboys fan and an Eagles fan? What's wrong with that?
They're in the same division. Now, that's different what this lady is doing. There's no difference in that.
I don't know.
Hated rivals.
Okay, all
it's
right,
like
okay.
being a Kings Lakers fans okay. back in 2002.
All right.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
It's just now that's
I didn't mean to derail
that's
you.
A rule. No, but I used to be a Cowboys fan. But what turned me is Tony Romo. I always felt like there was this love affair with Tony Romo, who is a very good regular season quarterback, but never got it done. And so if you're Dallas, show me something. What have you done since 1994? What have the Cowboys really done since 1994?
Well, we built a really nice stadium.
Exactly. So if Micah Parsons is tired of the criticism, I need him to have that same energy when everybody is hyping him up. They open up 2-0, 3-0, everybody's feeling good or whatever. Well, I need to have that same energy then. Like, hold on, pump the brakes, you know? We don't deserve that. He's not going to say that. He's going to walk around and act like, you know what? They're the best thing since sliced bread. And so he needs to have that same energy when everybody is hyping up the Cowboys too.
I like Micah Parsons a lot. I'd love to have him on my team no matter who my team is. But that's embarrassing what he said. It's not fair.
Right. And he's trying to stick up for his quarterback. But you know what, Micah Parsons? It comes down to this, Whitey. Tell your quarterback to play better. Don't lose to the Arizona Cardinals. Don't hype up the big game against the Niners and come out and lay an egg. A way to silence your critics is to play good football and win games. That's all you got to do. You ain't got to go on your podcast. You ain't got to whine to the media. You ain't got to go through no, you know, he's like boycotting the media. That's right. You don't need to do all that. Just win football games and the love will come.
Thank you, Al Davis. Just win, Micah. Coming up next, can we please get rid of this tush push? Can we
nope.
Please. Can we please? I know it's legal and everything. Well, we'll get to it. Tell you why the NFL is taking a long look at it and why some think, no, it belongs and it's going to be around for a long time. That's next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Kings at Chase Center tonight. Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason. And I was kind of dreading what the Chase Center was going to look like because, you know, the Golden One Center, we built it here. What was it, 2016 when they built the Golden One Center? Around there. And, you know, incredible. And then, you know, okay, the Warriors have their newer building. They can benefit from experience and learn from what the Kings did. And because I was in the Bay Area and I did a lot of Warrior stuff, so I got to go to the building, and it's a beautiful building, but it doesn't have the character that the Golden One has.
No, it doesn't. And I don't want to dump on, you know.
No, it's a beautiful building.
It's a beautiful, but from a fan's perspective, it's light years behind Golden One Center. I say Golden One Center is the best arena in the NBA. In terms of a fan experience, ease of getting in and out, concession stands, you don't feel like if you go get a beer or a drink or whatever, you're missing a ton of action. You can still feel the vibe. Like everywhere inside Golden One Center, especially the concourse, the lower area, you feel like you're a part of the action. And the sight lines are great throughout the building as well.
Mm-hmm.
Chase Center, I feel like you can get lost in a little bit. Like, you know, you make a wrong turn. You know, there's a section where you don't even feel like you're inside an arena when you're in there. Like,
well, I know what you're talking about. I think if you're talking about the elevators and the catacombs when you're trying to get to the media room,
you literally can.
It's like, wait, where
am I? Yeah. Are we still inside the building? Are we still inside the arena? And so, it's you know what? They spent a lot of money, but it's not Oracle. You know, it's not what it used to be. And I used to go to the games, like when I travel with the Celtics and we'd have to go to Oakland. Those were real, like, you could feel the heart and soul of the Warriors in that building, in the fabric of that facility, in that building. You know, Chase Center is still, is like a little corporate. It has a corporate feel to it. Yeah,
and it is, and I'm not trying to go out of my way to bash that place,
right?
Because it's nice, But it was kind of a relief to see, wow, the Golden One Center has more character. Yes. The hangar doors, for example.
Yes.
That's such a cool feature.
Right.
And Chase is right there by the water. But when you're watching a basketball game, that doesn't matter.
That doesn't matter. And, you know, and you can't just walk up the aisle, like go up and, you know, let's say you're on the floor and you want to get up to the concourse area. You can't just go up. Like there are certain stairs you have to. It's just not user friendly. Like Golden One Center is.
One thing that's interesting to me, you mentioned last week, I think you were talking about Raymond Ritter, and he gave me and John Dickinson, my broadcast partner, he gave us a tour inside Chase, and they have in the visitor's locker room, it's the only in-ground hot and cold tubs in the league, he said. So they have a lot of stuff like that we would never know about, designed to, you know, when visiting players come through, they're, hey, this place is pretty nice.
Yeah.
And some of the
they got some
boxes
of those
that
bells
I,
and whistles
you know,
and,
I wasn't in. But so some of the things that make it really special are things that most of us would never see. But just in terms of going there, game experience, hey, this building, well, it kind of looks like it's trying to be Oracle, and it's not. But here, the Golden One is like no other arena in the league.
Yes, it really is. And, you know, the fan experience is great. They got some new things as well at Golden One Center, and I'm sure we'll talk about that next week. I haven't checked it out yet, but they have like this Golden One like fan interactive thing that they just announced today. It just opened today, and so where fans can I think practice dribbling and shooting, and like they made it more fan friendly, even more so than what it already is.
Do they have anything there to improve your defense, because maybe the players could come
right,
up and,
right defensive slide drills or something like that?
I'm kidding.
Ouch.
Brought to you by Capital Casino, conveniently located on 411 North 16th Street in downtown Sacramento. So looking forward to the regular season finally starting, and we're almost there. As for football, and just to clarify here, Kyle, I'm not coming after your team. I know your team, because your team is taking advantage of the rules. The Eagles have applied for a trademark for brotherly shove. Okay, that's clever. I get it. But there's some question as to whether that play will remain legal beyond this season. And again, I get it. They do it better than anybody else. If it's legal to do it, you should do it. You'd be stupid not to. I do hope that the league takes a look at that and says, yeah, we don't need it in the NFL next year. It's just, to me, it's not football. It's kind of like rugby.
Let me ask you this.
And I'm not, it has nothing to do with
your team. Yes, it totally does. It totally does. If the Niners mastered this, you wouldn't have a problem. Let's say they hand the ball off to the running back.
Uh-huh.
He runs to the line, and then they push him in.
Don't, no pushing.
That's okay. So you want to outlaw pushing of all.
The play became legal in the NFL in 2005 when the league removed language in the book prohibiting pushing offensive players. So 2005, until 2005, you could not push a player forward. I remember seeing, it might have been the fridge or somebody, pushing somebody into the end zone. That's a flag. You can't, and that makes sense. It's like, no. There was a reason why you couldn't push somebody, your teammate, into the end zone.
It's on the official to blow the play dead when they feel like forward momentum movement has stopped. And so the tush-push, or as I like to refer to it, the brotherly shove.
Yeah, be careful because they have applied for the trademark.
Hey, I'm from Philly. I got carte blanche over there, you know. They'll let me use it. You can't use it. They'll let me use it. But it's part of football. It's like James Harden in the step back. You know, like, just because all
of it. You mean the step back four steps? The step back and back and back and back?
I'm just saying.
It is like that.
Nobody said that you had to take two steps forward going to the basket. They never clarified that. Ugh. So you got the step back with the two steps. Same thing with the brotherly shove, you know?
You're right. They're both
horrible.
They're
playing by the rules.
They are. They are.
And Dallas tried it the other day.
Uh-huh.
And you saw what happened. They didn't get it.
Didn't work.
And Dak said, my guys didn't push me hard enough. They got to push harder. And so just because the Eagles have mastered it.
It's not about the Eagles.
Yes, it is, man. Other team can do it.
The Giants tried to push Daniel Jones Monday night game against the Seahawks, and their center and their tight end. It's not funny. They both got hurt on the play. So that's the league is going to say that, let's see. We're looking at players, if it's safe, player safety. There'll be more data, whether there's injuries or not. There will be success rates. There will be teams that will have an opinion, and that's according to the guy who's in charge of the competition committee, I guess. So the competition committee's reviewing this. They're going to take a long, hard look at it. And, yes, the Eagles take advantage of the rules. They do it very well. But I just hope it's not part of football next year, because to me, that's not a football play. They should have never allowed pushing in 2005, which is what led to this. Pox upon our game.
Oh, my God. I have no problem. So it's okay for defenders to gang up on a guy and push him back.
Yes.
But not the offense.
Right. Offense.
So let me ask you, goal line plays, can you do it or no? You want to outlaw it forever? Like,
no pushing. You can't push a ball carrier, and you couldn't until 2005. And I would like to go back to that rule. Because, yeah, you have to. You can block someone. You can push, you know.
This is fake outrage right now. This is what, and I'm not talking just you. I'm talking everybody. Who really is upset? So what? So what is football? Football isn't always pretty. Every play doesn't have to be a 20-yard pass play or a sweep or anything like that. Sometimes it gets down and dirty and grimy and gritty, and sometimes the game is won in the trenches. And so the Eagles have mastered it because their line is great. Their quarterback knows how to run it. The running backs behind them know how to run it as well. And so it may not be ugly. I mean, pretty. But there are a lot of plays that aren't pretty in the NFL.
It's not very artful, and it's not very skill-based.
So
and
should we get rid of the kickoff also?
Well, that's going to happen. That's a whole different thing.
That's going to happen.
You know as well as I do that that's, we're headed that way.
We talk about injuries. You know, I would venture more players get hit on punt coverage than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Do we get rid of punts now too?
Probably going to do that eventually, but I'm not worried about the injuries. The league may use that as a means by which to say we can't do this anymore, but it just comes down to, it's not a very artistic play, and it doesn't look
good. How many times is it done per game? That's what I want to know. So you want to take this out because it's done, the Eagles do it three times per game or four or whatever it is?
The Eagles have, and to their credit, they've converted a high rate. 37 times they've converted, 41 times they've run it.
41 times in six games. So do the math right there. Six and a half, seven times per game.
That's too much to me. I think one time is too much. Now, if the league decides, if they vote on it and decide that's still going to be part of the game, all right, then, you know, I'll learn to live with it. But now, given that they're looking at that, I urge them to say, we don't need that in our game. By the way, Jerry Jones says he likes the quarterback push play.
Oh, you had to say that, right?
That's right.
Because it's hard for me to agree with Jerry Jones on anything. How about this? Just let the Eagles win the Super Bowl this year and then take it out. I'll be okay with that.
They're not
going to
take it out before the year's over. Wouldn't that be great if that's how they win?
I understand.
It's like a Three Stooges movie or something. Pushing the guy into the Keystone Cops. That's great. What a great play.
How come this wasn't an issue 3 years ago?
Because nobody was smart enough, frankly,
exactly,
to take advantage of it.
It's like I said, James Harden. 20 years ago, they could have been doing a step back like James Harden. He was the initiator, the originator, and he's the one that changed the game. And now people want to outlaw the step back. They want to come up with rules and all that.
They just want to outlaw a guy taking four steps backwards. That's not basketball.
I agree.
Okay.
Two steps. You get two steps. That's it.
Not going backwards.
Same thing with push. Yes. Two steps going backwards. Why not? Two steps to the side.
That's why you have a dribble.
Brotherly shove.
Yeah, it's here to stay, at least for this year. I urge you, members of the National Football League, I think it's Rich McKay, maybe. He's the guy in charge of the competition committee. Vote it down. You have it this year, we'll live with it. Get it out of your system. No more football, back to skill-based football next year. No more. We have more fat guys that can push better than you guys, so we're going to score a touchdown. All right?
All right, I'm for it. Go for it. Go, and we got the best offensive line in the NFL. It's not going to matter to us.
That's right. You can find other ways to score. Coming up next, a broadcast legend who has had it. It seems like everything I say now, I'm coming after you. But
I know, right?
Broadcast legend who has had it with all the Taylor Swift stuff during football games. It's next here. Drive Guys on Sactown Sports. Got the Kings and the Warriors tonight. To Drive Guys, Whitey Gleason, Kyle Draper. Could you give us an update, Kyle, on our poll today?
Yes.
YouTube chat.
Can you be a fan of more than one team simultaneously? Absolutely not. Loyal to your soil. Or, yep, variety is the spice of life. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
50-50 right now.
Seriously, I had
no
idea.
A dead tie right now.
See, I don't have the numbers here. I did not know the numbers.
I got the numbers right here. 50%. Still time to vote on our YouTube page, Sacktown Sports 1140.
Still time to do what's right.
Exactly. You're making a comeback, though.
Yeah.
Your side of things making a comeback. You know, the entire poll last hour or so, 49 minutes, everybody was on my side. It was 57-43, but you guys have come back. Your side has come back.
You raise a really interesting point. I wonder to what extent it is kind of generational. If there are more younger people that are less tied to a particular team, or you know, more especially fantasy football players, like, well, I got guys on all these different teams. I wonder.
And think about it also like this. We know players change teams, but people move around a lot more.
Right.
You know, you got transplants from all over now, and they carry some of that loyalties, but they also want to root for the local team as well. And so as people change cities and move around even more, I think you'll see more of that going forward.
But at the same time, we have some of, if not the very best NBA fans right here.
Oh, yeah. You know what upsets me, though? And I'm going to just say it. I don't know if I should say it, but I'm going to just say it. You ever see that Homer Simpson meme where he's in his hedges and he got one team hat on and then he backs into the bushes and then comes out? I'm getting a sense of that from a lot of people who, when the Kings were down, they went to the Warriors, and now they're coming back to the Kings. I'm all for cheering for Sacramento, the Kings. But next time, don't leave us. That's my mission. Like, and this is why I sort of got in trouble, you know, and went viral a little bit when I said Warriors fans are sort of new money, you know, last 8 to 10 years. Because a lot of those fans were from Sacramento. And I understand the Kings weren't doing well. They weren't playing well.
Well, there was a time when the Kings weren't here yet.
Yeah, that's true. You're 100% right about that. But, you know, it just bothers me when I see Warriors fans here in Sacramento, or when I see Warriors fans in Golden 1 Center. And I understand the Warriors, you know, sort of, you know, over the last 10 years, they become a national, international franchise, fans all over. Steph Curry has done tremendous things. But it still bothers me. And now I got to welcome back some of those Warriors fans back onto the Kings bandwagon.
I understand that. To me, it's forgivable because, you know, you invest so much emotionally in your team. And the Kings, let's face it, a lot of that was the fault of the Kings. They weren't giving fans anything worth investing in. And the Warriors, meanwhile, were, you know, wow, they won a championship. Now what? Oh, they got Kevin Durant. So it was kind of easy money. So as long as they come back, to me, I understand your point, and I'm not telling you
but
you're wrong.
But those are bandwagon fans, Whitey.
That's worse than what this lady is doing.
As long as you come back. But this lady was a fan of the Chargers and Vikings.
Maybe.
When
knows?
The last time they won anything?
Can we believe anything she says?
When the last time they won any? Bandwagon fans are even worse than what this lady did.
Yeah. There's a guy that he doesn't call as much anymore, but I'm sure he listens. And I remember him calling one time, and he said, you can't expect to rule Northern California if you're not even the number one team in Fairfield. He's talking about it from the Kings standpoint.
Ooh.
You know, and it was true because that blue wave was kind of creeping up into the valley, to your point, and took over a good portion of the valley. And now it's receding here a little bit. And to me, that's all I would say. And again, it's just my opinion. As long as those people are coming back, the Kings are good again. Now they're worth my time. To me, I'd be like, that's fine. As long as you're both feet back on board, all is forgiven.
And Jay will agree with me on this, our guy Jay Johnson back there. It's like going to a club, Whitey. You're there at 10 o'clock. The club's not jumping yet. It's kind of slow, but you go in, you and your boys. You're like, man, it's not jumping right now. Let's go check out this spot down the street. And then at 1 o'clock, you try to come back in the club, and it's all hopping now. The music's bumping. People are out. It's the place to be. If I'm the bouncer, I'm like, nah, bro, you had your chance earlier. You shouldn't have left. You got to wait in line now. And so, hey, Warriors fans that want to come back over to Sacramento, come on. We'll take you. But You got to wait in line just a little. You got to earn your stripes again. We're not just going to hand you a De'Aaron Fox jersey and say you're back with us. No, you got to work your way up and earn your stripes again.
That playoff series last year was the true test, and only those people know how they felt. But if those people that had been Warrior fans came back to the Kings, if they were on board with the Kings in that series and rooting for the Kings.
Yeah,
if you really were, then to me it's like, all right, you're back.
You know, what? One thing that I was proud of, and I keep bringing this up, and I'm going to keep bringing it up, when I first arrived here in Sacramento, it used to piss me off that Lakers fans and Warriors fans were in Golden 1 Center. Not that there was a sprinkling or a smattering. It was about 50-50 there, maybe even 60-40 the wrong way. But in that playoff series, and even down at the Chase Center, our Sacramento Kings fans showed out. And so I was extremely proud of that. And that's how it should be. Come October 27th, when we take on the Warriors home opener, don't let Warriors fans up in there. Don't sell your tickets to Warriors fans. I got people asking Warriors fans, hey, Drapes, can I get a couple of tickets? First thing I ask them, who you rooting for? I want to know that. Who you rooting for? Because I'm not giving it to a Warriors or Lakers fans.
That was one of the most incredible things about that game one. I know you heard it. There had been a lot of speculation that there's going to be a lot of Warrior fans.
Yeah.
And there were very few.
Very few.
It was amazing. And those who were there, you could see there's a few there, a few there, and they were very well behaved.
They were very well. Exactly. Although there were a few more in Game 7, if I'm correct, especially when Steph Curry started going off. But, you know, Warriors fans, y'all could come back to the Sacramento Kings, but you just got to pay another initiation fee or something, or you got to wait in line. I'm not just going to welcome you back into the cookout. You know, you got to bring a dish or something like that. You got to get it back into my good graces to be welcomed back.
All right. I just want to take a quick look at Al Michaels. You know, Al Michaels is kind of outspoken, and he's been doing it so long now. I think there are things that he says that maybe other announcers wouldn't say, because he's like, what does it matter? I've been around forever. And he's doing, what, Thursday Night Football now for Amazon?
Amazon, yes.
Prime Games. He was on with Jimmy Kimmel, and he was talking about how to deal with it as an announcer when Taylor Swift's at one of the games, because he says, and we'll hear him here, he says, you know, a lot of football fans don't really care for all that. Here's Al Michaels.
We love it, man.
I bet you do. I mean, it's crazy.
Listen, we had to be judicious. We had the game last Thursday night in Kansas City. We knew she'd be there. So how much do you show her? I mean, she'd been on twice, and football fans are going, enough? But we were praying she'd come into the booth and sing for us. And and do the whole thing.
Yeah, and then I guess he referred to, well, he said she's Travis Kelce's girlfriend, friend. But, you know, as an announcer, obviously, Al Michaels, he's done the Olympics, so he knows this is part of the story. The game's part of the story, but this is part of the story, whether football fans like it or not. So, obviously, there are very few who are as qualified to understand how to deal with a situation like that as Al Michaels.
Yeah, and, you know, regarding Taylor Swift, she's bringing new fans to the NFL. And I understand the NFL has maybe have gone overboard, you know, on social media. Everything's about Taylor Swift.
People are staring at the TV hoping she's going to be on. That doesn't make them a fan.
But the eyes are in. They get the ratings points. People are tuning in. Right. Social media interaction is up when you mention Taylor Swift. She's
sometimes
a machine
I don't
right
now. You know what a fan is with some of these disagreements we're having today.
Let's look it up. In the next break, I'm going to go to Webster's.com and see what Webster says.
Have you seen the movie yet with your daughter?
No, I have not. I have not. I gotta check it out.
Because that's just dominating everything, right, at the box office?
I think it's going to set some records. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I could go with you guys.
Yeah, no.
No?
If you're not a Swiftie, you can't come.
I want to see. You know what I love about her, honestly? Not a Swiftie, but she writes her own songs, right, for the most
part? There you go.
That's awesome. The rest
there
of it,
you go.
But that's great that she writes her own stuff. That's tremendous. Good for her. We're going to take a quick timeout when we come back. Hey, the Ringer just named their top 100 players in the NBA, and it appears that Mike Brown was not part of their panel. We have three Kings in the top 100. Can you guess who they are? The answer's coming up next year with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.